And broke beaks slump on ground or quiver pigeon, while rattles rub hands in the shadow. And when he sings so full with bursting soul, he heart fly out of mouth, and then bashed be bit by all with ears, who cry, shut, shut, shut it up, O cackamuffin. Then welcome. Woof, welcome in Blue Jam, Blue Jam, Blue Jam.
So what can I do for you?
Well, I've done all these muscles under my arm here, mm-hmm. and lifted it quite awkwardly.
Yes.
That was all right till this morning. I woke up and can't move this shoulder at all now.
Right, it's just round here, is it?
Yeah.
I see. Right, well, what I think I'm going to do with this is I'm going to do it over the phone. Okay. Just stay there while I go next door. I'll ring through and you pick up the phone. Okay?
Alright.
Alright, I'll speak to you in a minute. Paul, right, now tell me exactly where the pain is. No, could you just hang on a minute? Could you keep your voice down? Because I can hear you through the door. There's no point in my doing this over the phone if I can hear you through the door, is there?
Right there.
Okay, just keep your voice down.
Yeah. All
right. So, when did this happen? Oh, look, sorry, this isn't a very good line. Why don't you call me back? Yeah, it's 302. Thanks. Hello, Barnes Green Health Centre. Sorry, who is this? Paul Meek. Well, I can't see you now. I'm with a patient. Look, is this an emergency? Well, then come in on Thursday morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hang on a minute? I'm on the phone.
Okay,
hello?
Just wondering if it would be easier.
Yeah, could you just wait outside? Hello? Hello? Oh, there you are. Right, 10 o'clock on Thursday, okay? Good. Okay, well, I'll see you then. And can you go through the reception next time? I'm not the secretary. Right, Ed, bye-bye. Right, so what's the story?
I have to come back Thursday.
Okay, then I'll see you then.
I was just wondering if you could just give me
10 o'clock.
Right.
Yes?
Thank you.
emergency scheme Lamex. It's a real old man in a wheelchair trying to shake hands with an elephant.
Day 4 yesterday, I picked the car up for a garage. Geezer says, over there mate, keys in the ignition. And I look, I cannot bloody believe it. The car is only 4 foot long. I said, what's this? He goes, it's your car. I said, what do you mean it's my fucking car? He said, oh, that was what it was like when you drove it in here. I said, don't fuck me about. How did I drive that in? It's only 2 foot six tall. He goes, you must have put on some weight. I thought, I was going fucking mad. Then a manager comes out. He said, what the fuck's going on here? I said, I paid good money for this. He goes, what's wrong with it? I said, what do you mean, what's fucking wrong with it? I said, look at the size of it. He goes, what? I said, it's only about 4 fucking foot long. What the fuck have you done to it? Then he says, oh, well, that's how it came in. He goes, I particularly remember that one because I used to have one myself. The fucking 4 foot Vauxhall carton, oh fucking yes. And I said, is that it then? I said, is that why I have to drive away? And I said, it's your car, take it or leave it, it's up to you. So I just had to fucking squeeze into it, didn't I? Fucking knees round my ears. And this 4 fucking foot car, it's only 2 foot six tall. I mean, what am I, fucking noddy?
Where they've gone. You know, that's obviously something I'm looking into.
I see your eyes on fire. I see the desire on the ground leave you. Where you go to, I have to follow you. I'm not just talking.
Been in the pub 3 hours, talking to a guy I used to work with called Ian, before I realised he wasn't Ian at all, and I was in the wrong pub. By that stage, he was very cross. He poked me in the chest and asked me if I was some kind of puppy squeezer. I didn't know what he meant. He had me thrown out for it. I walked the street until I came to a doorway where I used to lean when I was married to a wife. I think I've forgotten her name now. No, I haven't. It was Rosalind. Yes, I have. I had intended to empty the pub out of my bladder here, but the doorway was lit up and surrounded by film cameras. Hydraulic pistons poked out of the side of the building. A beautiful girl sat where I used to lean, holding a bunch of leaves to her face and inhaling deeply while an assistant applied makeup to her nose and teeth. Next to her, an elephant was being made up too. It wore a special jacket with fireworks attached. Grey foundation was being applied to its trunk. The model was asking if the elephant had been given its breakfast. She said it shouldn't be expected to do this work without eating homeopathically fireproofing seeds. She'd insisted on it in her contract. She got up, put her arms around its trunk, and said, "Let there be peace among mammoths." Some models use cigarettes. Some use heroin. My bladder was conker hard and big as a saucepan. A girl came up and asked me if I was with the elephant. I looked at the elephant, and I looked at her and wished she was a lavatory. She handed me a script. It said, "Location shoot, the Eden Current account." Behind me, a man started bawling into his hand. It crackled with sounds of obedience. He was the director. After 10 minutes, he was ready for someone to tell his assistant to say action. And the model became immediately concerned about the cameras and asked if they were meat-free. The director slowly explained that this was a spiritualized camera in which the lenses were made of glass, not meat. I think she felt better. The cameras rolled again. The model started chewing the leaves and smoke poured from the doorway behind her. In the script it said, "Ignite elephant." A man lit the elephant, and it walked forwards with fireworks going off on its back. As it passed the model, a squib shot off and landed in her intricate cinnamon hat. The script made no mention of this. Aromatic flames sprouted in the bark. Some of the crew wanted to stop filming. others wanted to tell her to look out, as she was still lost to her leaves. A skirmish between horror and fascination broke out on the director's face. With a sudden pang of decision, he ordered half the cameras to stop and the other half to keep rolling, and screamed, "Somebody help the bitch, but not yet," at the same time leaping up and down and slamming himself in the balls. The model realized she was on fire. She scrambled to her feet, tripped and dived under the elephant, where she thrashed around magnificently. The stupefied animal urinated like a burst lorry and put her head out. The elephant was still on fire. The model looked at me from the middle of her steaming lake. Something in her eyes spoke to my bladder. Suddenly I too was pissing like a king, all over the animal's flaming back and ears. I continued to empty for a full 2 minutes after the fires had gone out. As they wheeled the model to the ambulance, one of her assistants asked me over. "This is the man who put out the elephant," they said. She pulled a strand of damp hair from her eyes. "Thanks to you, I'm going to give all this up," I nodded. "I'm going to dedicate my life to abused elephants. Maybe when I save them, they will teach things to men, like Sarah taught you about putting out fire with the natural aquas of belly." I wanted to tell her how gorgeous she was, even when moist and smelling of damp compost. "You stink of piss and you're thick as shitty jam," I said. As I left, I found a man sitting on the ground with his head in his hands. "You're sad," I said, indicating his face. He pointed to a mass of hydraulics. I was supposed to make the building smile with my pistons. The Eden account makes buildings smile. As he scrunched disconsolately at the gravel, I stood on one of his hands.
I am free. I want to down. Can you help me?
And so to the top 10 cockiest livers pruning the bum fluff in the nation's spaz garage.
I want to down. Can you help me?
Straight off the plane at number 10, group Mongy Mong with Fat Weeping Bitch. A tribute to the Wu-Tang's Geezer, recorded in case he was shot and released last week by mistake.
I want to down. Can you help me?
Still retching at 9, you have no idea how wide my eyes can get. That's the Oh Christ, he's using Tar Leavers version from Gunproof Grandad. That features Keith Prodigy eating an unopened tin of rice. Absolutely no move at number 7. It's up 3 for the Portillo Heads, Give Me a Professional Neck, mixed by themselves and then unmixed by DJ Mrs. Clark from Egham. Down 14 at number 6, it's the Raljax tin with Did God Just Fart on My Decks? Great ambient clown remix of that, too. Now, it's been in and out of the number 5 position all year, this one. It's the current size of India and putting me in mind of attractive women. And you won't find a better example of mad face than that. Good to see DJ Neutrino back in the chart. He's at number 4 with his Power of Random Sodomy collective, doing their version of the Feld Forest classic Manhattan in My Wristwatch. Killer sample in there too from the 70s floor filler Burl's a Swinger. A controversial number 3 this week, since it's really only number 11. It's the guy who invented large armed house, poofy cousin and renegade trip shop with Sorry About the Concrete, You Should Be Able to Walk Out of Your First Floor Window Once It Sets. That's already a classic plantain. Number 2, DJ Mumps with his historic premix of this year's as yet unrecorded Christmas number 1, Robbie Williams' mum singing We've Got the Builders In. And so, yet again, it's straight in at number 1 for the 3rd week running. And there's been real heavy rotation for this particular Pringle. It's DJ Spam Team with Bunny Sneeze and Totally Impervious to Mandelson. So who said Suburban Plum and Suitcase was dead?
was just cashing up last Tuesday, and this bloke comes into the shop. He comes up the counter and he says he's got this gun in his stomach, and that he's pointing straight at my head, and I should hand over the money. I thought another nutter in off the street. Then he pulls this weird face, and it was an almighty bang, and then the bloke standing just behind him, old fella, falls over with his bullet in his neck. Meanwhile, he's just standing there, the bloke with the gun in his stomach, is just off his back, blown out all over the place, and he's just shouting shit over, and he was furious.
Even after all, the murdering, even after all, you're suffering so. You know I love you so. You know I love you so and so. Even after all. I'll let you go on, sir. It's the order of the day. And I'll let you believe, sir. It's the order in this society. You know I love you so. You know I love you so and so. Even after all. This is my money, y'all. Man just feels satisfied. No competition, no competition at all. I just feel satisfied. Them eyes are gorgeous, girl. No demise, a price. I got to raise it again. Them eyes are gorgeous. I must advance. I don't check for no superficial. It's got to be beneficial. This time it fruits. This time it fruits. Size. These sonic foods got them moving around, alright. Hyperplay, stepping and rising. Even after all, the murdering that go on. Even after all, oh no, you're suffering so. You know I love you so. You know I love you so and so. Even after all. You just survived, soldier. And your soul is beautiful. And your soul is good.
Thank you.
Right, sir. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Benson.
Good morning. A little early this morning.
Perhaps you'd like a coffee?
Yes, black please, no sugar.
I'll just let Mr. Ryland know you're waiting. Mr. Benson, please.
Very well, and yourself?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Please, have a seat.
Right, so what area was it? It's a London number, P.J. Perrin. It's Foster Walk in Chiswick.
Right, let's see now. Perrin. Oh, yes. Here's your number. 0181... 995-1732.
Right. Thanks very much.
Always a pleasure. Goodbye, then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Bell.
Goodbye, Mr. Benson.
Goodbye.
Get out, and you push me up to always nice to have company at that time of day. I did have one very awkward tenant. I do try to be fair, but she just wouldn't move out. Even though I'd become extremely unhappy with the way that she was breaking the lodger's agreement with regard to the use of lights in her room. I do like them to turn off the lights as we're in the part of the room that they're not actually in at that time. I insist on that, otherwise I can't keep the rent down, though it's very difficult. And it makes me unhappy to sit and watch a tenant on the video monitor, that I have a monitor in each room, just to ensure proper conduct in the house. They don't actually know about them, but that's part of the tenant's agreement I have with myself. And it does make me unhappy to sit there and watch them breaking this house rule. Now, this girl, in my view, was also having too many guests. I don't mind any number of guests in what I call moderation. Most of my tenants don't actually have so many, as it happens. Certainly overnight guests are extremely rare, but I do have a rule with myself again that if they do have an overnight guest, then I'll turn the video off. But it does seem to me that most of them prefer to masturbate. But this girl had what I felt was one too many guests, and she really wasn't fitting in with the house in general. She was creating a bad atmosphere, so I told her quite civilly, but she refused to take the hint. And I am extremely civil in all my dealings with my tenants. There's only been one unpleasant incident in 27 years, and that was when I had a chap who'd been in the Secret Service, and he used to sit in his room, stare out the window straight onto a brick wall all day, and he'd actually asked for a room with a view of a brick wall, and I'd given him one. I mean, he was harmless enough, but he used to slide down the banisters in quite a disruptive way, and I thought in the end the best thing would be if I shot him. And I did that with the cooperation of the Home Office. You know, they had a lot of trouble with him as well. They tried to scrub his brain with a wire brush, but you can't be sure. So he ended up taking an assisted dive down the stairwell. I mean, but that was in the 60s. You couldn't do that now. I wasn't going to do that with this girl. I was being very civil with this girl, but she wasn't moving out. And eventually I gave her an ultimatum, and I said, if you're not out by next weekend, I will have to evict you formally. And she said, oh, I have my rights. And I thought, well, we're getting into a bit of a mess here. So I just waited until the Sunday night, and she hadn't gone. And I could see she was asleep on the video monitor. So I went down to her room. I do have a key for each room, just for the odd occasion I have to sluice them out. And I went in and I tiptoed to the bottom of her bed and lifted up her bedclothes and took out a scalpel, a very sharp scalpel, I used to be a medical student, and I slivered the thinnest possible layer of skin from the bottom of her foot. And it just came away like a sort of silk insole. And I took it out and I put it under a shrub. And the next morning I looked at her, she looked at me, and there was no kind of vibe at all, you know, it was all very pleasant. And the next night I did exactly the same thing. Took another very thin sliver of skin off the bottom of her foot, and I did that again and again and again every night, until 3 months later I went in there and she wasn't there at all. And I went out and I looked under the shrub and she wasn't there either. And that's how I get rid of any tenant who doesn't want to leave now. We'll be right back.
afraid your wife's mental condition is not particularly encouraging. She certainly had a major breakdown, but I'm afraid that's just the start. It will lead to increasingly distressing behaviour. She'll fail to recognise you, she'll lose control of her body.
We find it very exciting when we're having sex to have someone there pretending to be a psychiatrist who diagnoses one of us as severely mentally ill.
And I have to say, within a very short time, she'll be almost permanently deranged.
We once went courting in the Kensington Asylum.
Both, but coin their lands on third side, the inside. When you fly, so wingish speed, then thwack, ye path be glass, and broke beaks lumbum ground or quiver pigeon, while rattus rub hands in the shadow. And when ye sing so full with bursting soul, ye heart fly out of mouth, and then bashed be bit by all with ears, who cry, shut, shut, shut it up, ooh, cackamuffin. Then welcome. Ooh, woof, welcome. In Blue Jam, Blue Jam, Blue Jam, Blue Jam.